Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Friday, September 4th, 2020.
Bitcoin's up just a hair to 10,405, as is Ethereum up to 388, about 1%.
Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, first, Kazakhstan is on track for a $700 million crypto mining investment.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of third world, or I guess lesser developed countries, because it would not be fair to say Kazakhstan is third world, but lesser developed or not kind of like, you know, America, Europe, things like that, are investing in crypto because they see it as a major growth area. They see it as a major place to get strategic advantage. And you look at like the regulatory infrastructure that's gone into place in America that makes it so difficult. Like there's so much ambiguity around how to even do your taxes for something like a miner, that, you know, a $700 million investment is not a ton of money for a country, and it gets you your foot in the door and a pretty cool thing. The other thing is that, you know, countries like this tend to have resources. They tend to have cheap power, especially somewhere like Kazakhstan they're going to have good solar energy if they need it. You know, all of mining is fundamentally a issue of arbitraging power prices. So if you can find places that have you know, cheap power, cheap hydroelectric power, cheap solar power, you can make a very good run at it. Or if you're like Kazakhstan, where you have cheap access to oil as well. So these are all factors that will come towards making the price of electricity a little bit lower. And then, you know, just as a sponsored state thing, this could be good. So I'm always happy to see stuff like this. It just brings a little more legitimacy to crypto.
Well, and kind of the next story as well, a Swiss bank has set up to be the world's first digital asset bank. And additionally, a Swiss canton will be accepting Bitcoin and Ethereum for tax payments.
Yeah, I mean, Switzerland has been on the forefront of digital assets for the entire time. A lot of the big companies, Zappa was one of the first companies that was in the space. They were Swiss based. There are still Swiss startups all the time. A lot of people in the crypto space are like live in Switzerland. You know, there's a lot of alignment with some of the beliefs around privacy and what the way Switzerland looks at the world. Some of the beliefs around neutrality, the way within the crypto industry and with believers, true believers in cryptocurrencies, and the way Switzerland looks at the world. So Switzerland's been a good place. They were very early to pick this up. They are very fast moving. Like they do have a good amount of regulation. But the interesting part about Switzerland is they can move very quickly on how to handle new regulatory assets. So it's not the news here is not just that they're the first bank to get this sort of approval. It's that Switzerland was also the first place that even had a structure for a bank to really get legitimate approval like that. You know, New York had something that ended up being a little bit more focused on exchanges and money lenders. This is sort of the first, you know, regulatory infrastructure for a bank to take on a gauntlet like this, which is pretty cool.
All right. Also today, Tim Draper was talking about Bitcoin Cash.
Yeah, it's just a funny little thing. You know, Tim Draper he's definitely one of the mavens in the industry. He tweeted at Roger Ver today. You know, people call Tim Draper one of the Bitcoin billionaires. He has a lot of money in cryptocurrency assets. So what he says is, you know, when he makes a statement like he thinks Bitcoin Cash is pretty cool, then that should turn heads and people should take a look at it. So.
Cool. All right. Well, we asked on Twitter what some of your favorite new DeFi projects are. And thank you to everyone who responded. You can still tweet at us at the DeFi Daily or email info@thedefidaily.com. And so today, let's talk about FTM Phantom Foundation.
Yeah, Phantom is an interesting coin that someone tweeted at us. I hadn't seen it before. It's a protocol level coin. So it's essentially, you know, you think about Bitcoin as a protocol, Ethereum is a protocol, something like Chainlink, the Chainlink token, which runs on top of Ethereum, is not a protocol, although they have a protocol aspect that kind of backs it up. Phantom is a totally different protocol. It is a proof of stake out of the gate protocol. So proof of stake is the direction that Ethereum is going with Ethereum 2.0. So there's a couple of different things that Ethereum 2.0 is trying to do. One is move to proof of stake. Part of that is to get a little bit more skin in the game for everybody. So once if you own Ethereum, you can stake your your Ethereum, and then you can get money based on that. So it's a nice, there's a nice virtuous cycle there. But then the other side is that proof of stake doesn't use as much electricity as traditional proof of work mining like Bitcoin uses. So for people that are more green minded and they want to be more, you know, conscious about the electrical impact of cryptocurrencies, proof of stake is great. Now, the problem with proof of stake is it does not tend to be quite as secure as proof of work. So proof of work really takes quite a bit of, for something the size of Bitcoin, quite a bit of economic impact and quite a bit of mechanical impact. Like, you need a lot of machines in order to make a concerted effort at attacking the environment, at the attacking the blockchain. Proof of stake lowers that a little bit, and it makes it more of an economic attack versus a pure machine number attack. So as opposed to having to go out and buy a bunch of miners or rent a bunch of miners, you have to actually own a certain percent of the coins in the ecosystem. So depending on the size of the ecosystem, that can be very difficult. You know, Ethereum's it's not $200 billion. It's a multi-billion-dollar, $66 billion market cap. So you'd have to go out and get $30 billion or probably $20 billion worth of Ethereum to attack it, because it requires one third of the economic impact. Anyways, Phantom was on this train very early. They picked up all this stuff. They have a very fast to settle network, and they are and then the way they do sharding to enable growth is very clever, where each user has their own shard as opposed to a fixed number of shards that your transactions could get routed to. They also have sort of more configurability. So kind of the stuff that IBM had worked on, which was you can build it. You sort of like, it's a drag and drop blockchain where you can figure out all the different pieces you want, whether that's, you want to have, fast settlement or slow settlement, proof of work, proof of stake. They have these notions where you can kind of drag and drop different notions into there, or different elements or features into the blockchain. And then you kind of build your own blockchain, and they provide a central way to distribute, to actually move transactions across the different blockchains. So it's cool technology worth checking out, kind of interesting. And they like what we talked about yesterday, they also are running on Ethereum, or we've been talking about with Binance yesterday, they were also running on Ethereum, so they also can run Ethereum smart contracts. So what's ending up happening with the industry that's really interesting is that Solidity, Viper, the Ethereum-based smart contract writers, and then the EVM, which is the bytecode that sort of backs it, are becoming the de facto standard. And then people that are smart are basically using that standard. This is like what happened with Java in the enterprise software world. If I write some Java and that can run anywhere, that makes the platforms that can run on really, really valuable. And so that means that I don't have to rewrite software. So if I can write one smart contract somewhere and deploy that to a bunch of different chains, and the chains all have different properties, that adds a lot of value to the underlying protocols and chains.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Well, it was kind of an up and down week for Bitcoin. Bitcoin did dip under $10,000, but people continue to invest in DeFi. So what do you think will happen in the industry?
I think we are, I personally think that right now is a great time to buy crypto. I'm adding to my crypto holdings. I'm buying Ethereum. I think Ethereum is really, even with the crazy gas fees and everything that's going on, I think the Ethereum 2.0, kind of the drive towards that, is really going to be a powerful movement for Ethereum. I think Bitcoin also has a lot of room to go up, but I think Ethereum has more room to go up. So I am excited about Ethereum. That's what I'm buying. And I think there's just lots of cool projects, like the DeFi. They're within the wheat and the chaff of the DeFi. There's been a lot of nonsense, and there's been a lot of, really terrible projects and Me Too and scams and all of that. But there have been some really interesting things. I mean, at the end of the day, Balancer, Uniswap, these are cool projects. What we talked about, you talked about UMA yesterday. These are really legitimately interesting projects. So I think that we as the industry are pushing the financial services forward in a way that the financial services themselves certainly do not push themselves. So I'm really excited. I'm always bullish about this, though.
Yeah. As always, that's Pat's opinion and not investment advice. But it's interesting to see. I'm excited about things, too. All right. Well, I think that's it for the news today. Monday is Labor Day, so we won't return until next Tuesday. As always, thank you so much for listening. And you can check us out on Twitter at The DeFi Daily or online at TheDeFiDaily.com. Thank you.
Have a great Labor Day. Go get some barbecuing done this weekend. Have a good one.